We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We've done seven parts. This is the seventh part of it. And today, I just felt very strongly that the Lord wanted us to look at living in the Spirit. Last week, we talked about the baptism of the Spirit. And this week, I want to talk and expatiate on living in the Spirit. And what actually does that mean? So would you all read this out loud with me? Would you do that? I'll start it. From Galatians 5, 16 and 18. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we pray for this service, for this word, that you would touch it, Lord, that you would cause it to come into our hearts, Father, and to cause us to understand what and how we're supposed to live as Christians, walking with you, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you. We give you place here. We acknowledge your ministry among us and ask that your presence with power would come upon us. Lord, and I pray today especially, Lord, for those that are seeking the baptism of the Spirit, Lord. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you would touch them, that you would come down upon them, that you would anoint them with power, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. And all of his people said, amen. So if you'll take your bulletins and take out your notes and get those ready. What does the apostle mean when he says that we should live by the Spirit? What is he trying to teach us and show us? We've talked about the Spirit in power. We've talked about miracles. We've talked about the Spirit in the world, the Spirit leading people to Christ. We've talked about how the Spirit came down at the baptism in the Spirit in Acts. What is Paul trying to tell us when he says, you need to live, and the King James actually says, to walk in the Spirit? What is he trying to teach us? From Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on that, on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Is what Paul is doing here is he's juxtaposing what it means to live in the Spirit versus what it means to live in the natural. To live in, some people say, to live in the flesh, to live in the sinful nature. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. So it has to do with setting our desires on the things of the Spirit. From Romans 7, 5, 6. And when we were controlled by the sinful nature, keep that word in your head, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore the fruit of death. But now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So Paul talks about living in the Spirit as it relates to walking in a way where we're fulfilling the desires of the Spirit in our life, of the Holy Spirit. When he says Spirit, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, of course. But then he wants to talk to us here. He says, listen, I'm not talking about following a bunch of rules and regulations. I'm not talking about living in the law. I'm talking about a freedom that comes in the Spirit because the law has been written on our hearts. So the Spirit comes and lives inside of every believer when they get saved. When they come to know Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside us. But we still have this sinful nature. And so those two things, those two elements, Paul is telling us, are at war with one another. The sinful nature versus the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. And so it's a struggle, but we're called to live by the Spirit, not by the sinful nature. We've been released from the law of death. We couldn't keep the law. That's why Jesus came. He came to set us free from the law of sin and death. So from Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits. Well, when you have an apple tree, An apple tree puts forth what kind of fruit? Puts forth apples. A pear tree puts forth pears. And a pear apple tree puts forth pear apple. Isn't that something? That's just amazing to me they can do that. So the Spirit, when the Spirit is working in our lives, Paul from the Epistle to the Galatians has given us a model that says, okay, if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're living in the Spirit, you're going to be having those things exhibiting. They're going to be flowing out of your life. You're going to be budding and putting forth, instead of apples or pear apples, you're going to be putting forth love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Does that make sense? Because the Spirit of the living God has come to live inside of you. And because that which is inside of you has to come out. And it comes out in the fruit that we bear. The problem is that we've also got a sin nature in us. So the apostle is speaking about living a life centered. He's talking about living a life that is centered, focused, like a rifle, not like a shotgun, not with this blah, 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 but a life that is centered and focused on the things of the Spirit. And he very succinctly in Galatians, he uses the word desires, that the Spirit, that we focus our life on the desires of the Spirit. And what are the desires of the Spirit? The desires of the Spirit are to glorify Jesus, to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, to be obedient to the Father, to live subjected to them, though he's equal with them. And so that should be our desires. They should be the same as the Spirit's desires as we live. And if we walk and live that way, we will walk and live in the Spirit. So, what is the sinful nature being spoken of by the apostle? He talks about the sin nature. And if you go through the Old Testament, especially the epistles, you go through the epistles over and over, you're going to see this idea, this concept of the sin nature riddled through the New Testament. And there's a reason for it, because we have got to get an idea. We think when we come to Jesus, everything, we're just perfect. And how many of you know that's just not the case, is it? You have a war going on inside of you. Do you have war inside of you like I have a war inside of me to walk in the Spirit? Well, this is why. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. Who's he talking about? Talk to me. He's talking about Adam and Eve. He's talking about Adam specifically. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man. You see, before Adam sinned, before there was separation from God, there was perfection in the garden. And then Adam disobeyed God. He listened to his wife. Good husband that he was. And I just couldn't resist. The fall came. And so now there is separation. Man is cast out of the garden. And so sin, the sin nature, enters mankind. Romans, from Psalm 51:5, David says this. He says, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. So we're born in sin. Even a little baby has what they call original sin that's dwelling upon him. Sin nature. Oh, we need a Savior, don't we? Who will save me from this wretched body of sin? Just Jesus Christ. So there's a sin nature at work. And from Romans 7:18, I know, Paul says this, he says, if you've never read 6 through 8 in Romans, you need to go home and just spend about 2 years in those 3 chapters. I know that nothing good lives in me. How many of you can say that? You understand? Boy, you know that. You know how you are on the inside. Isn't that right? That's what Paul says too. I know that there's nothing good that lives in me. A sinful nature. For I have, this is the heart's cry of every believer, every man and woman of God who wants to follow after the things of God. This is what happened. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Just raise your hand at me if that's how you live there. Oh, I can't do it. For what I do is not the good. Sister, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For what the good that I want to do, that's what I don't do. For what I do is not the good I want to do, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep doing, and I do it over and over and over and over again. Oh. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but who's doing it? The sin that lives within me. That's the sin nature Paul is talking about. What is this sin nature? It's a nature from the fall of Adam and Eve that lives in every man and every woman. From Ephesians 2. And you are dead in your trespasses and sin in which you formerly walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. And among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Because we're separated from God. We are children of wrath because of the sin nature, because we will be called to account for that sin nature. We will have to pay the price for sin. Sin must be paid for, right? There's no freebies in this. The only freebie is going to cost you everything, and it's not free. It costs you your whole life. And that's a surrendering of the life to Jesus Christ because he pays for the sin. Children of wrath. The sinful nature infects every man and woman descending from Adam and Eve. Now, how many of you out there can say that you're not descending from Adam and Eve? Who did not descend from Adam and Eve? Why was it so important that he be born of the Father, that the Holy Spirit would come upon Mary, and that she would conceive, and that which was born in her would be holy and righteous, and he would not have a sin nature? Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, that his Father was God. You see, this sin nature, it infects every man and every woman. There's no getting away from it. What are the consequences? There are some consequences here to having this sin nature, to living in it. See, Paul is talking, he's telling us, he wants us to live in the Spirit. He says, don't live in the sin nature. Live and walk in the Spirit. But I can tell you right now, we as Christians, some of us more than others, live more on the dark side than we do, what's the other side called? The light. I was thinking of a Star Wars illustration, but you know what I'm talking about. Some of us, we all walk in the flesh at one time or another. I mean, that's what I mean. When we talk about walking in the sin nature, that's what we're talking about, walking in the flesh. We're walking where our bodies are controlling us. Our mind is not set on the things of God. Our mind is not set on the desires of the Holy Spirit. And so we're not living and walking after the Spirit. We're living and walking after the sin nature. And it's at odds with God. It's at enmity with the Spirit. They're at war with one another inside of you. What are the consequences of it? If you walk in the sinful nature, if you live there, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, and enviness, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, this, read that first verse. See, we've got the same vernacular here. We've got the same words. Paul is using the same type of language. He says, bingo. He says, the sin nature. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. You cannot live and walk in the flesh and in the sin nature and still be able to look Jesus in the eye and say, I'm a follower. Come on now, you're quiet. If you believe that, you've been fed a bill of goods. You have been fed a lie from the pit of hell, and the theologians have a name for it. It's called antinomianism. Antinomianism, well, what is that? That's when I believe that I can sin and live like the devil my whole life, and because I'm saved, I never have to worry about it. Because I've surrendered my life to Jesus, I never have to worry about anything. I'm just following after Jesus and sinning like the devil, living like the devil. You can't do that. You've got to, the acts of the sinful nature, obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Are you ready? Say, come on, Pastor, I can take it. Discord. Jealousy. Pastor, you can go to the next slide. There's just no escaping, guys. I mean, you just can't run from the Bible. There's nothing you can do. You might as well just give. Just like a horse. What was the name of that horse we had, Noel? His name was Josie. Josie. Oh, Josie was such a beautiful horse. He was about 16 and a half hands high. Big, tall, big, strong Tennessee walking horse. And you get on Josie, and he Tennessee walking horses, they run or walk differently than quarter horses, who kind of go boom, 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 and they beat the tar out of you all day. A Tennessee walking horse, they glide, they go to him, and it's a joyous thing to ride a walking horse. But you'd get on Josie, and he was the old man's horse. I got the expensive horse. The kids got the... And Josie, you could get on Josie, and oh, he'd just give to the rain. He was just, he was kind of a nonchalant horse. But he would give. He would just go wherever you wanted him. He never gave you any trouble. He never got all fickle and frighty and flighty. And you know how horses get. They just get, bleh. I can't stand horses like that. I'm the one who's all fickle and kind of like this. I need a horse that's... When this body hits the ground from about 4.5 feet high, 6, 5 feet high, it's not fun. I warn you, as I did before, that those that live like this, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. You gotta give to the Spirit. You see, these are things Paul's talking, he's warning us. He's saying you can't live in the flesh. Galatians 7 and 8. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature. There it is again. Paul, he just never stops. He never cuts us slack. That's because he wants you to walk in the Spirit. He doesn't want you to live in the flesh. He doesn't want you to obey the works of the sinful nature. He wants you to walk in the ways of the Spirit of God. Will reap destruction. Some of you are looking at me like, Pastor, you're just way overemphasizing the sinful nature thing. You need to be emphasizing the grace of God. Well, I got to tell you, I can appreciate that. But I emphasize the grace of God all the time around here. There comes a point in time in our walk with the Lord that someone's got to get out the stick and say, listen, you've also got to follow after. Yeah, there's grace and there's mercy, but you have also can't walk and live in the flesh. God wants you to grow up in your lives. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And that isn't a bad thing. That's a good thing. And what better way than with the Scripture, right? Luke, produce fruit. John the Baptist, this is about John the Baptist here. Produce the religious men were coming out, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were all coming out to John the Baptist, and they were coming to him, and they were baptized, they wanted to be baptized, and they're looking at him, he knows their lives, he can see into what they're doing. What do we have when we roll back the stone of your heart? Is it full of the Spirit? walking after the Spirit of God every day. And do not begin to say, I can hear him saying this, covered with camel skins and eating locusts and honey and hair all matted and sandals and just looking a mess. I can hear him say it, standing up and just to prepare the way. I can see him. We have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already laid at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and will be thrown into the fire. There's no hiding. Luke, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not begin to... Oh, sorry. A meaningless... What happens if we can... Wait. What are the consequences of living in the sinful nature? Here we go. A meaningless life and a promise of eternal life separated from God. That's the promise. You walk and live in the sinful nature. You live there. You walk there. Now we're all going to move in and out of there. Okay, I'm not beginning to say that you're going to be perfect or believing in the doctrine of perfectionism. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that there has got to be a desire in your heart to walk in the Spirit. And with that desire, He will help you. And we're going to get into that. Meaningless life and the promise of eternal life separated from God in hell. That's the promise. Why is it so problematic for the Christian to live by the sinful nature? Why is this such a problem? Well, James has a bit to say about it. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praisings and cursings. Everybody say, oh my, oh my, oh my. Out of the same mouth come praisings and cursings. Is that me? I'm ashamed to tell you that sometimes it is me. I'm ashamed because of what He's done for me. I'm ashamed that I walk in the flesh sometimes. I'm ashamed. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, it should not be. Can fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? You got a spring coming out. You know, we have a really high water table around this area, don't we? I mean, it's really high. The wells, what do they go down, 50 feet or something? Back in Montana, we drill real men's wells. We're going down 700 feet for a gallon every 4 days. Can you imagine that well putting out water, and then... it turns to salt. Oh my. It can't be, can it? I mean, how's it going to, unless it hits a salt deposit, it just can't be. My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives? Well, not unless you've got a oly fig tree. I just made that up on the fly. My brothers, can a fig tree bear, or a grapevine bear figs? What would that be, Anthony? A gray fig?
Yeah, gray fig.
Gray fig, okay. All right, we'll go with it. Neither can a salt spring produce. It just doesn't work that way. And that's the same way in our lives, brothers and sisters. We are filled with the Spirit of the living God, and we must put forth fresh water, and we do that by walking and living in the Spirit. Luke 6:43, a good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Trees identified by its fruit. Fig never grows. A good person produces good things from the treasures of a heart. An evil person produces evil things from the treasure of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. It's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks, the scripture says. What's inside of me? What's going is the grace of God flowing out of me? Or is this spewing forth? Well, I walk in the flesh sometimes. I know it's not supposed to, but I kind of step in it once in a while, and then that's not acceptable. The scripture teaches us that we need to walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the sinful nature. I'm telling you, this is part 7 of this series, but this series, I got to tell you, I'm forever changed. That's the overflow of having to prepare messages like this, is because it comes down upon the poor preacher who gets it. You get it for 45 minutes or an hour and 15 minutes. And the preacher gets it all week long. And everybody said, hallelujah. We're hoping for good things for you, Pastor. Out of the abundance of the heart. Galatians. So I say, live by the Spirit, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary. They're in conflict. You don't do what you want to do. Living by the sinful nature is, you see, Noel didn't proof this morning. And when Noel doesn't proof it, you get a word like this once in a while. Antithetical. Antithetical. I like that word. What does it mean? I'm glad you ask. It means opposed. It means that they're at odds with one another. It means that they're mutually exclusive. You can't have one with one another. They're antithetical to one another. They butt heads. How's that? Is that street enough for you? Living by the sinful nature means that you're going to be butting heads with the things of the Spirit. You're going to be always in trouble with it. You're going to be continually. You can't do that. You can't live by that way. So, what do I gain from living by the Spirit? What's this? Okay, I'm on board, Pastor. I'm going to do it. I want to do it. I want to do it, and by God's grace, I'll do it. What do I get out of it? Let me tell you what you get out of it. Romans 14:16. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's a part. That's just one part of what you get out of it. When you walk and live in the Spirit, you live in a state of righteousness. You live in a state of peace. Your home is at peace. Your car is at peace. Your driving is at peace. Your work, your relationship with your employer, your relationship with your coworkers, your relationship with people in the church, because you're considering them more highly than you consider yourself. Living in the Spirit is so full of wonderful things. Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature reaps destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, he reaps eternal life. Eternal life. What do you get? What do I gain? A life of righteousness, joy, peace, and eternal life are promised to those who live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and you get this promise of eternal life. You get this promise of peace. How many of you want to live in peace? How many of you want to live in peace at church? Heaven, yes, Jesus. This is supposed to be a slice of heaven, isn't it? In your homes, your family, your husband, your spouse, your children, your parents. Oh, peace. Peace. I remember Noel's father when Evan was about 5 years old. I think Christian was born, and Grandpa would just come and he'd say, peace. you know, they're just like, you know, bouncing on the, you know, little boys, right? Peace. And I'd just laugh and go get a Coke. Hi, Grandpa. How can I live by the Spirit? Now, can you take a rapid fire on this? Because if you can't, I'm just going to skip this. I'm ready to skip it. It's long and arduous. Just everybody say, come on, brother. It's long and arduous, but it's the Bible. And I will rapid fire it at you. You don't have to write anything down. Just keep your eyes focused on there. It's a lot of scripture. And I don't usually do this to you, but I just felt, you know what? You're going to beat them up so bad on the sin nature that you got to give them some hope. You got to give them a way to live. How can I live? How can I follow after them? I don't want to walk in the sinful nature, but look at how I walk and live. And I'm walking and living in the sinful nature. I want to walk and live in the Spirit. How can I do that? Uh-oh. Uh-oh, there it is. Okay, here we go. We're going to do it. We're going to skip right down to where the underlining is. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature. There's that word again. It's not like he picks a different word. And I know it's a translation. I understand all that. But the translators have used the same word over and over and over in the NIV. Circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by God, having been buried with him in baptism and raised to him through faith in the power of God and raised from the dead. Baptism. Obedience. How do I live and walk in the spirits? Be obedient to God. First of all, if you've not been baptized in water, you better get it on, sister and brother. Stop playing games with this foolishness. The sin nature, you see it right there. With a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by God, having been buried with him in baptism. There is a cutting off of the sin nature in baptism. Now, does that mean you're going to walk in perfect holiness after that? No, it doesn't mean that at all, but it means there's going to be new power to live for Jesus. You need to be baptized, number one. Number two, Romans 8:12. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. You've got to put your mind to this. You've got to say, that's walking in the flesh, that's walking in the flesh, that's walking in the flesh, and I'm going to put those things to death in my life. And pray to God that he'll help you. I don't think there's any prayer in the whole wide world that God loves to hear more than that prayer. Help me, Jesus, not to do this anymore. Amen? All right, stay with me now. Ephesians 5, be very careful. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will. Do not get drunk on wine, leads to debauchery. Be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a way of life. Do you sense that in those verses? That's a way to live. Singing psalms. Walking and praising God wherever you go. Putting aside the things of the flesh and letting the things of the Spirit flow out of you. This is glory. This is the way to do it. Be joyful. And he just continues. This is another Pauline epistle. Be joyful in your heart. If you're always walking around like this, you know, you're like an abominable snowman wherever you go. You're mad about everything. I mean, you're mad. You're mad about the... You know, you went to the gas station to get gasoline, and you tried to put regular gasoline in your car, and they were out of it. And so you had to put premium. And so what did you do? Instead of thanking God that your car is going to run a little better on that premium, you marched your tail right inside, and you gave that person at that counter a way big piece of your mind. But you didn't know that Trish has been trying to lead that person to the Lord for 4 years. And you got a big bumper sticker on the back of your car that says, Hamlin Assembly of God. Trisha's going to have a hard time keeping in the Spirit. Because you're messing with her evangelistic efforts. You got to walk in the Spirit. Pray continually. Oh, there's a key right there, isn't it? Pray continually. Pray and be in the Spirit. talk to God. You start walking out of the Spirit, and we do. You see what happens is you're walking in the Spirit, and you're full of the joy of the Lord, and you're singing psalms, and you're just praising God, and then something happens, and your big toe comes out, and you cross that line, you touch the water, you cross that line back again, and pretty soon you just put your big old number 12 triple E's down, and boom, you're in it. Pray. Pray that God would help you. And give thanks. Give thanks for that premium. Give thanks for one of my hardest things that I just, oh man, I just want to spit nails is when we're in the back and we're having one of these things after church and we have more people sign up. What a horrible thing. We have more people sign up for a thing. You heard me allude to it this morning. For a something, and then more people come, and then we don't have enough food. Well, you know, I was in the restaurant business for 20-some years, and nothing I hate worse than running out of food. It's just like, ah! And so I'll be back there just after preaching this phenomenal, life-changing, world-changing message. And then I'll go back there, and they're running out of food, and oh, my foot, number 12's cross over. If I would pray continually and be joyful, I would be able to overcome that work of the devil trying to get my joy. You see me, what I'm saying? You see how easy it is to do? Yeah, right. But you can do this. You can follow after his ways and you can serve him in these things. But you got to lay down the sin nature. Ephesians 5, but among you there must be not, oh, here it comes again, Paul is walking in the Spirit. How am I going to, how can I walk in the Spirit, Pastor? Well, not a hint of sexual immorality or of impurity or of greed because they're improper. And then go down to verse 4. Oh my, no, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk. Are you ready? Coarse jesting. Oh, you mean I can't just kind of, What do I mean by coarse jesting? I mean putting your finger in the ribs of one of your brothers and sisters with some comment that's, everybody's laughing. Ha, 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 ha. You know what I'm saying? You've all been there. You know exactly what I'm saying. It hurts. I mean, we're all laughing and joking about it, but it hurts. Someone's getting hurt, and you don't even know it, and you're laughing about it. Coarse jesting, obscenity, that's not walking in the Spirit. That's not the joy of the Lord. That's the joy of the flesh. That's making fun of someone else's misfortune or someone else's hairdo or lack thereof. Okay, foolish talk, coarse jesting, they're all out of place. Rather, walk in the Spirit, give thanks, give thanksgiving. No immoral, no greedy, no, blah, 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 none of them are coming to the kingdom. They're not going to the kingdom. You say, ah, that's harsh, Pastor. I didn't write it. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Oh, I love this little story. I love this one here. Let me tell you why this is such a perfect, perfect beginning to close. These guys are in prison. They have been beaten, worked over, thrown in prison unjustly. And they are in that prison, and they're in some people say they're in chains or they're in stocks, and they're sitting next to each other, and the jailers are all around them. Probably dark in there. It could be moldy and cold and nasty. And they're sitting around and they're singing, bless the Lord, oh my soul, thank you for these chains. Thank you that tomorrow I could be strapped up to a cross and poured over with pitch and lit on fire. Thank you, Jesus, for all the torments that I'm going through. Sounds like a Gregorian chant, doesn't it? Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus, for this time of solitude. Thanking him in all things. Thank you, Lord, that my children are running at my feet and I can worship you with Silas. Get it? That's what's going on here. Suddenly a violent earthquake shook the foundation. The doors woke open. The prison, the jailer woke up and they saw the prisoners. And they say they drew their sword. They're going to kill themselves because the prisoners escaped. And Paul and Silas, no, don't kill yourself. We're just singing here. Because we're walking in the Spirit. In spite of our circumstance. Romans. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your immortal bodies through the Spirit. You see, he's going to do this in you. You don't have to work it up. You don't want to work it up. You don't want to try and make this happen on your own. You want to walk and live in the Spirit as the Spirit empowers you to do it. He will do it in you. Last. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. When you're weak, begin to pray in the Spirit. Last verse. And he who searches the hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. He's there with you, interceding for you, helping you, standing, encouraging you the whole way. If you're about to walk out of the Spirit and you need strength, you're going to walk into the flesh and the sin nature, you need to pray in the Spirit. Pray and ask him to help you to get through and to go through. That's what he's there to help you. He's your helper. He's your counselor. He's your friend. He's your confidant. The Holy Spirit. In five words. In five words. Boil it all down. In five words, what is the key to living in the Spirit? Five words. Rosemary, don't cheat. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Glory to God. I can walk and live in the Spirit because I can put my eyes on Jesus. I can trust that he's going to do this in me. He's the author and the perfecter of my faith. He is the one sanctifying me. He's the one causing me to become more like Jesus every day. How do you walk in the Spirit? Andrew, you fix your eyes on Jesus.